She wore a brace on her foot, too, and some days she felt the braces were the only things keeping her together, helping her to carry on. She needed them more than ever when, on 24th of March, she finally heard back from the latest set of lawyers. "We regret to say that, in our opinion, the statute of limitations barred your right of action against USRC 2 years after you left their employ." It was another dead end. Grace had just one final card to play. "Dr. Martland agrees with me," Hoffman had written, "that it is of the utmost importance that you should take legal steps at once. He suggests that you see the firm Potter and Berry." She had nothing more to lose. She had everything to gain. Grace Fryer, now aged 28, with a broken back and a broken foot and a disintegrating jaw, made an appointment with the firm for Tuesday, 3rd of May, 1927. Maybe this Raymond H. Berry would be able to help where no other attorney had. There was only one way to find out. Grace dressed carefully for the appointment. This was make or break time. She'd had to change her wardrobe after the brace had been fitted. "It's awfully hard," she revealed, "to get clothes that don't make it show. I can't wear the sort of dresses I used to wear at all." She styled her short, dark hair smartly, then checked her appearance in the mirror. Grace was used to dealing daily with well-to-do clients at the bank. She knew from experience that first impressions count. And it seems her potential new lawyers appreciated that sentiment too. Potter and Berry, despite being a small law firm, had its offices in the Military Park building, one of Newark's earliest skyscrapers. It was then the tallest building in the whole of New Jersey and had been completed only the year before. The lawyer she was meeting inside it, Grace soon realized as he introduced himself, was just as fresh-faced as his office. Raymond Hurst Berry was a youthful lawyer, not even in his 30s. Yet his baby-faced good looks, he had blonde hair and blue eyes, belied a brain as sharp as a tack. He was not long out of Harvard and had been valedictorian of his class. Already he was a junior partner in the firm. He had served his clerkship at none other than Lindaberry, Depew and Fawkes, USRC's legal firm, and perhaps that experience gave him some insider knowledge. Berry took a lengthy statement from Grace, and it seems she may have shared her new lead with her friends, for just 3 days later, Catherine Sharp also called on Berry. He was not a man to jump into things. As any lawyer should, he first scrutinised the girl's claims. Berry went to Martland's lab and interviewed von Sahotsky. He then summoned Grace and Catherine back to his office on 7th of May. He had conducted his initial investigation, he told them, and he had seen enough. And then Raymond Berry took their case. He was a married man with 3 young daughters. A 4th would be born the following year, and perhaps having so many girls influenced his decision. Berry was also a veteran, and this case, he could see, would be one hell of a war. In his agreed terms with Catherine, Berry contracted to take the then standard split of 1/3 of any compensation. With Grace, however, she seems to have negotiated him down to just 1/4.